Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan since the 90s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I watched the Seinfeld pilot when it was first shown in the UK, but it didn't click, and I walked away. Over 25 years later, I'm having another go for science.
And together we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. So it's in front of my face. Can you see that all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good. Does it look normal to you?
Like a regular screen does, yeah, sure.
Have you ever seen one like this before?
Not quite like that, no.
I'm trying to find the perfect double entendre and I can't find it. It won't come to me. No! That was almost one, wasn't it?
Almost, I'd say it was one.
I almost had a big one in my hands and didn't even realise it. Ooh! Doctor. So, probably what I'll do here is say, hello, welcome to episode 29 of Hello Newman. As previously mentioned, I'm going to do admin at the beginning of the episode again.
Good place for it.
Because I enjoyed it last week. It went well for me, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd have another go. So thank you for listening. Thank you for finding us and listening to us. We really appreciate it. Please do rate and review us wherever it is that you get this podcast from. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pets, you know, all counts. And by all means, if you want to ask us questions or berate us for anything, you can't really berate Steve for his Seinfeld knowledge because, as he says at the beginning, this is his first time for it. If you want to berate me, because really I'm the representative here of sort of long-term Seinfeld fandom, aren't mm-hmm. I? I'm kind of like the advocate general of Seinfeld on this podcast. So if you wish to take me to task, by all means, keep it to yourself. We're watching Seinfeld here in the UK
mm-hmm.
on the streaming platform Amazon Prime. Other streaming services are available, but they don't have Seinfeld on them.
And they're not Prime.
They're not, no.
They're just like regular numbers.
They are. Yeah, no, I only like Prime numbers. I don't really want to go down that, because that's a cul-de-sac, really, for me, because I don't really understand enough about Prime numbers.
You're a very big cul-de-sac.
Yes. I don't know enough about.
Be a nightmare for postman. So on Amazon Prime, there's Seinfeld, which we can watch. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. But obviously Seinfeld's available in lots of other places.
Yeah.
I also have the DVDs, but we choose not to watch those because they're precious to me.
That's true. Some of our listeners might even have their own DVD/Blu-ray/ yeah. I bought this online and it lives in the cloud mm-hmm. and isn't that ever so slightly terrifying?
I was going to say VHS, but I'm not sure how available it was on VHS. It's certainly in the UK. So as far as the first time I became aware that Seinfeld was available to buy was on DVD. It was about a 5-year period, I think, they were released as well. So seasons 1, 2, and 3 were in a big box set together, which was very pleasing. But yeah, then I think they sort of trickle released them. So it was always quite frustrating. I remember sort of waiting from Christmas to Christmas. But it is quite interesting in the interviews, like the bonus materials and the commentary, you see them sort of aging through about 5 or 6 years, which is quite fascinating. And you hear them do far fewer commentaries with Michael Richards later on, who takes stuff super seriously. I don't think we'd enjoy doing it with him because he keeps wanting to talk about craft. So, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jason Alexander, kind of a bit like us, prepared to go off on a whimsical tangent
mm-hmm.
If the mood takes them. But Michael Richards always wants to bring the attention back immediately to the screen, which causes any conversation to completely stop.
I think it's fair to say, though, everyone else, I was trying to put it in a particular way, but that's kind of prevaricating, really. Michael Richards
yeah.
didn't necessarily go on to do much else.
Well, he did one. He did one significant thing, didn't he? That season of Curb was brilliant, which happened right after that incident. So it gets addressed in it as well, which is hilarious. He shouldn't have said that, should he? No. It's not his word to use, is it? I'm not here to defend Michael Richards.
I think it just it goes to show how difficult live performance can be.
Michael Richards, I think, is a genius, but he seems super highly strung. And I think that's an issue. But, you know, geniuses often are. Anyway, this isn't the Michael Richards Depreciation Society. This is Hello Newman, and we are about to watch Season 3.
Take us to task on anything that we just said just then.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in any of this.
Unless you're Michael...
I could do with some schooling.
Yeah, unless you're Michael Richards, in which case that would crush me. His performance as Kramer is such a happy part of my life. I wouldn't want to attract the ire of the creator of that character. Because I know they wrote it, but he
made it.
He made Kramer. Yeah. Anyway, as I say, season 3, episode 11. The red dot we're watching on Prime, as mentioned, and all the zeros are at zero. Steve, I'm going to press go now. Right, so let's just draw attention right off the bat. No tie.
Nope.
Talking about knives, knife crime would become much more topical after this.
Yeah, I think it's a weird riff, though. Pretty terrifying though, to think that there are, you know, places where you can easily just purchase a knife.
To be fair though,
I mean, it doesn't seem any more or less terrifying walking into, say, a large store, buying your weekly groceries, and a gun.
That's right. Well, yeah, you've brought a knife to a gun country. Merry Christmas, Steve.
Oh, I didn't get you anything. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I still love you. I think as this episode goes on, George's hat gets smaller and smaller.
I cannot wear a rolled beanie like that. I need ear coverage. Mm. You know, if it's cold, I want to keep my ears warm.
I once worked with a chap whose name was Chris.
Okay.
And he used to wear a ridiculously small beanie hat, which he claimed to have owned since he was 4 years old.
Okay. And still somehow managed to squeeze it onto his head.
Yes. Well, it was ridiculously small. So they're at Pendant Publishing for Elaine's office Christmas party. Which is a nice second time we've been to Pendant.
Mm-hmm.
However, you will notice that Elaine's boss has changed, metamorphosized, into Richard Fancy.
Okay.
He's found her watch.
And look, the shove. You've not seen the shove in a while.
The shove. The patented Elaine shove. It's unusual to see Christmas in Seinfeld. Doesn't happen often. Oh, and there, but first we meet Dick. Elaine's boyfriend, Dick. He's a dick.
He is a dick.
Yeah. Very handsome dick, though. David Norton.
A handsome and upright dick.
He is an upright dick.
For now.
For now, yeah, absolutely.
Let's just set those drinks down, I'm sure.
He was fine. He was a singer and dancer in the 70s. Dr. Pepper ads US. The guy playing Dick, David Norton. He had a hit single, Steve, called Making It, which was number 5 in the Billboard Hot 100 in 1979.
That's quite an achievement.
Not bad yet. And he also, I'm reading this, which is why I sound halting. My Sister Sam, apparently. It's all the facts I have about him. But he was a face.
A perfect face for a dick.
He was, yeah.
Hmm.
There he is. There's Richard Fancy, who will now be, for the rest of Seinfeld, Mr. Lippman.
I can't even remember. I can't even recall how Mr. Lippman looked previously. So
I think he looked more swivel.
I had not noticed when watching this the first time that it was a different actor.
I think he just picked up the wrong glass.
Hmm.
That looked like, because he was just drinking cranberry juice, right?
Yep.
And Elaine was drinking vodkas and cranberry juice. So he's got the alcoholic drink, even though that's not what he wants. Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
But you say it's not what he wants.
Yeah.
But maybe he did actually want to.
Oh, God, he's an alcoholic. Oh, he's been such a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
The off the wagon, on the wagon thing.
Absolutely.
Ah, now, Nautica.
Nautica.
This is a familiar-looking clothes store.
Yeah, the Viking goddess of 90s clothes, Nautica.
Because that looks like the kind of place where perhaps maybe 12 months earlier someone would have found themselves getting a nice suede jacket.
Suede jacket, yeah. Looked less Christmassy back then.
Far less festive.
Yeah.
And a bit more male.
Yeah, it's definitely changed genders. I'll tell you what, and I know this is a few months ago, so it's not really topical.
All right.
But it wouldn't be allowed in this man's US Army. Oh, it's got a red dot, that jumper.
Well, come on now. Yeah, let's be reasonable.
Yeah.
How noticeable is that red dot?
Yeah. I mean, it is cashmere. And $85 is not a trifle.
Here's the line that's being crossed, though. Mm. If you see a nice bargain,
yeah,
it's like, oh, it's got a mark on it.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's all right. I'm buying it for myself.
Yes.
I can work around it. Maybe I'll try getting rid of it when I'm at home in my own time. What a bargain. The line that you cross, however, that he's crossing here, is that it's reasonable to make that decision for yourself.
Yeah.
But for someone else, how are you going to get away with that?
Steve, sorry to draw your attention. You sure that's not faux leather? Is it even the same jacket?
As the previous episode? I don't know.
Has he just got a... Oh, that was almost a Kramer slide.
That was one of the more urgent-looking entrances he's done so far.
Little micro-clap there when he came in.
Yeah, they're trying to do that, aren't they?
Listen to... Apparently the audiences were asked not to. Because the showrunners...
It interrupts the flow, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which I think they were keen not to do. But a micro-clap happens again in a minute. Now this is a lovely riff. I love the Hennigan's riff. I can see Kramer in 20 years' time doing adverts in Japan. The thing is, right, I might have missed something, but when he fell off the wagon, he was drinking vodka, which is famously kind of odourless, isn't it? You can't really... I mean, I think when people are drunk enough, you get just a general alcohol smell coming off people, but... Yeah. Vodka is kind of odourless. I mean, that's the... But then Hennigan's. Hennigan's is odourless. Yeah. It's a no-tell, no-smell. No-smell, no-tell scotch, that's it.
I'm sold.
George gets a clap. George has already been...
Was that not a clap for Kramer's performance of the Hennigan's sales pitch?
It seems kind of time. See, that's it. Is it a coincidence that George comes in at that point? Or...
Yeah.
Because to me, the clap starts as he's coming through the door. That's when George gets the clap.
Hey, two
another
shoves.
Shove. And... He looks like he's totally playing to the crowd there as well, doesn't he? It's brilliant. Such a good turn. Oh, so George was gifted. Gifted to Elaine the jumper with the red dot.
And Kramer's the one with the eagle eye.
Even though he's had several glasses now, drinks of Hennigan's. a no smell, no tail scotch. It is as far as 90s fashions go, it's a very attractive jumper. It is kind of more the sort of thing that, sorry, it's not a jumper, it is a cardigan, isn't it? There's his Klein bike. He notices it from all the way across the room as well. He's like Donald Pleasance in The Great Escape. Now I can see perfectly well.
Red dot.
Goodness.
Now he's getting Jerry involved.
Like a proverbial rabbit in the headlights.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry's gone into panic mode, which is quite nice. Clearly more scared by Elaine than George.
Oh, yeah, we know the one who's the real threat here.
Yeah. They both frighten me. I wouldn't really want George freaking out at me any more than I'd want Elaine furious.
But I don't think George would get physical.
I know, it's just what I could handle. He's having a shot of Hennigan. Sorry, I've been drinking quite a lot of Hennigans.
It's those pretzels.
They're making me so Hennigansy. Oh, bless him. Now look, he can't have had more than three shots of whiskey though, and he's out.
It must be a powerful whiskey.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah, I guess. Back to Pendant Publishing. George putting in a late shift after securing gainful employment.
Well, don't stay out of guilt, George. Yeah.
No, we missed the Art Vandelay. He claimed to read when asked what he's reading.
That's right, yes, because much earlier on, George found himself in a situation where he needed to come up with a lie but not be able to think any step further than the original line of the lie.
Yeah. I believe Art Vandelay, or the cleaner. Brilliant.
His first day.
Not only is he's had sex with the cleaning woman.
She's clean.
Yeah. But there wasn't even the trace of a setup. They don't even speak a line of dialogue to each other. It's straight to the reveal of what's happened. And I kind of love that.
Mm-hmm.
I say kind of. Steve, I absolutely love it.
A woman in your room.
It's true, isn't it? Never had a woman in my room. Have you ever had a woman in your room?
Depends on the room.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. You've got that woman room, haven't you?
Yeah.
Where you keep all those women.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Fit in once a week. It's not too bad.
But of course George had sex. George has animal magnetism. Do you find yourself attracted to George?
No.
Oh, I just wondered.
Maybe if he offered me a drink.
Or of Hennigan's.
No smell, no tell.
Absolutely. Makes you throw up, though.
Another cleaning lady was there, yeah.
Hooray! Who delivered it better?
Oh,
you!
Of course me, yeah.
Oh, Dick's been fired.
Yeah.
That must be hard for Dick.
Pendant Publishing, a scene of a crime, almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting him back on the alcohol and then being fired.
Yeah, absolutely. Here,
Pendant Publishing, you could say, is now dickless.
It is dickless, yeah. Once Dick was reaching for the heights, now it's just a flop. He really set the tone right at the beginning of this episode, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was almost subconsciously seeped in.
Seeped, you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good Lord.
Like a dick. Oh, Jerry's let the red dot cat out of the red dot bag.
And George is on his way up.
Oh, man. Now, is it getting smaller, the hat?
The hat? I don't know. It looks about the same.
Do you think? Yeah. I don't know. Apple corner, Steve.
It's the same one. I'll let you know when it changes.
Thanks, you've been listening to Apple Corner.
getting full grilled on the situation.
There are a few things I like more in life than whisper arguments. I love them. Oh, she's put him on the spot. The spot, do you get it?
It's good, it's good.
Sorry. It wasn't a double entendre, so it might have flown over your head. George's default.
Yeah.
Defensive position.
And he's not even aware that she's winding him up.
Yeah. Yeah, but better to, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. It's the American way. Yeah, you're right. It's easier to have George angry with you. Now it's the sob story.
Oh, now there's a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can't just be Elaine. You can't possibly understand that I am a man of very little resource at the moment.
Yeah.
It just was too good to pass up an opportunity.
Be a better friend, Elaine.
He's sick, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry's emotions have got the better of him. But I think there's a reason for using that tissue, because I think the real Jerry Seinfeld might have just been corpsing it.
Yeah.
But he's found another use for the jumper. He's given it to his cleaner beau. She had a career.
Yeah.
I was looking at her IMDb yesterday. She's had a career. She's been in stuff. She still works.
Oh, excellent.
Mm.
Oh, that sweat is doing the rounds, huh?
Did you know that she was the she played the bosun in Titanic?
Really?
And she was one of Jabba the Hutt's girlfriends in Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
I mean, she was CGI'd over.
Of course. Otherwise, people would recognise her as the Evie, the cleaning lady from Seinfeld.
She was the Starship Enterprise in J.J. Abrams' 2009 reboot with the Star Trek.
A masterful
Star Trek
turn,
franchise.
I have to say,
it's beautiful. I like the bit where she made herself go all stretchy.
I think George liked that too.
I love this Kashmir story. The terrible American man that visited her village when she was a small girl. Beautifully played as well.
Oh gosh, yes.
The
if it wasn't kind of clear already that George had kind of got himself into a situation he shouldn't have got himself into, this story really starts putting the hooks in.
I love the way that the and especially here with her delivery, it's such a beautiful overblown soapy performance, which juxtaposes so nicely with the sort of. I don't know how best to characterise how Jerry, George, Elaine and Kramer are. Sort of like hipsters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ties back.
This is what you were alluding to, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something that only happens here and doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. In this scene.
What a shocker.
One of the characters is in the stand-up. Yeah. What is going on? There's a dick in his audience. Look at him. He's a hairy dick. He's angry.
Mm-hmm.
The hairy dick was angry that night, my friend.
He was, yep.
I'm quoting Seinfeld at Steve Listener and he doesn't know. I'm like an evil genius. Is the Cumberland Gap the bit in the middle of a Cumberland sausage? You know, like where it spirals around, but there's always a...
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So, George...
But, hey, what an inventive use...
Yes.
...of the stand-up visual.
It
having, is. Having a little bit of crossover into the story itself. I was genuinely surprised to see it, and at the same time, very pleased that they saw an opportunity... in subverting what we've got so used to seeing.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
Wow. That surprises me.
Yeah, it feels weird. I don't like it. But,
luckily, but you only need to do it once.
Luckily, it never happens again. I don't like it.
No?
It's like worlds colliding. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like change, Steve.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Did it feel like there was a fourth wall issue happening?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, George, the scene with him and Littman reminds me a little bit of the big train sketch, the masturbating office.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of reminds me about that. Is there's an office full of people who openly masturbate in the office, and they get asked to stop and sort of say, well, it's the only reason I took the job here. And it's kind of a bit like when he gets questioned about having sex with a clean woman. He's like, should I not have done that? Questioning that maybe it might be all right to have had sex with anyone in the office. I love that she gave the jumper to Littman to give back to George as well. That's gorgeous. Lots of times, but what's Jerry doing back at Pendant Publishing? Why are these three characters congregated together in Pendant Publishing? That makes sense.
Which is actually a very nice thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry shows a little bit of his humanity for the convenience of him turning up at George's Elaine's office. The first time we've seen George have gainful employment since he told his boss
why,
to stop it.
Why would it take him so long to pack up? He's been there for a cup of coffee.
Mm. Knowing George, he's probably scanning his desk for things that he can steal.
Well, yeah. Oh?
Oh. Sounds like someone's dropped like a 10-gallon demijohn, whatever they're called. My God. It sounds like there's like Godzilla versus Mothra outside. The Foley artists are
yes,
really...
Yes, that's it. Hide under the desk. Perfect.
Yeah. Anyone who's worked in an office for a long time knows how thankless the task is of trying to hide under a desk.
He's decided to bring the tree with
yeah.
him.
Why wouldn't you bring it? Well, he's a dick, so of course he's... I like the red and silver...
It's a good look.
Colour scheme. Nice colour scheme, as a Southampton fan, I really strongly... Cashmere jumper as a peace mark. I like even in his drunken state, he recognises a high quality cashmere cardigan.
Surely he won't notice that dot. Oh, not drunk enough.
I love because you get to wrap up the end. I'm going to tell you things I love as they come to my head, Steve.
Okay, well you can say it any time, even at the end, it's fine.
I love that you don't see the red dot. We never get to see it,
and quite right too.
Yeah. Is that light or is his hair dyed?
Oh, he's okay after all.
Oh, here's my cup of coffee, Jerry. I'm sober now because I drink coffee. Don't like it, Steve.
Okay.
Makes me feel super uncomfortable.
Let's just point one thing out before we get into the how did we like this episode.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've noticed that in the credit sequence,
yeah.
the stills are reused from a previous episode.
Oh!
Because I'm watching this and there comes a point where, oh, look, I've seen that pose before.
Yeah.
And then there's another pose that comes after because it's goose-stepping.
Yeah.
And then after goose-stepping comes the Temptations. Because we had exactly the same sequence in the parking garage. And it's the first time they've repeated the stills in the credits there at the end.
It never occurred to me to feel...
Because I'm always on credit watch, you see.
Do you know what?
I'm the only one who...
I watched this episode with my wife the other day. And I said to her, oh, let's watch the stills at the end. Because Steve always likes to mention those. I really genuinely did do that. That's the thing that happened.
Well, how about that?
Little insight into my personal life there.
Thanks.
Tell me, Steve.
Yeah.
What did you think of that episode, which was, I normally leave it up in front of me, episode 11, season 3, The Red Dot.
Episode 11, season 3, I just verified it myself.
Yeah,
go all the way to the top of my notes.
Steve rightly, because Steve knows me, quite rightly didn't trust my memory there. For once it had failed to fail me.
So... I can see why knowing that you've seen this episode a lot more than I have, that you do not like Dick appearing in the stand-up sequence.
I would like to see a lot less Dick.
And it's not because, in my mind, it's not because of the first appearance, it's the second appearance.
That's right. The first appearance, I'd like him to be more of an aggressive heckler. I think if they were going to break the format, then there should have been a bit of back and forth where Jerry sort of really eviscerates him a little more than he does. Maybe ending up with a "I fucked your mother," something like that. Sorry for the language, but I want to illustrate where it could go. Or maybe calling him hot. Maybe calling him cracker, or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, so. Oh, just so, it just feels uncomfortable, that final scene of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather, I don't know how else you wrap that up.
I think it's fine to assume that he's maybe he's having a bad spell, but this is not permanent.
Yeah.
Right? He was clean,
just
one slip. That's fine. He'll probably get clean again. Maybe could have alluded in the dialogue that, you know, he's actually, you know, relatively okay.
It's just
it won't be long. Whatever. Fine. But the fact that we have to get to that point right at the end to not just have him be there at all, but to be there sober.
Yeah.
But and also to be there obviously sober.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's there. The camera is right on him. That could be enough, but no. Yeah. He's drinking coffee.
Yeah.
He's not drinking alcohol. He's drinking coffee. And he's got a woman by his side.
And he, yeah, but do you know what? That could have...
Overdoes it.
That could have all worked. That's fine.
Okay.
Because the him being there with a cup of coffee, lifting the cup of coffee to acknowledge Jerry...
That, he wouldn't have to say anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That picture says all you say. It's the line calling back to the off the wagon, on the wagon argument that kind of doesn't work to me. It's kind of like it's a heckle. They're having a personal conversation. It's not a heckle. And that
Because it's not that at all, is it?
Yeah.
It's not being used like that. It's being used as, oh, we've got to give them... We've got to do two things in this last, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. We've got to make sure the audience knows that Dick isn't in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because
Dick was really in deep.
Good. Glad you said it.
Yeah.
But also, we have to obviously leave him laughing because it's the end of the episode.
But
and so we'll have a weak callback to something that happened earlier on that he wasn't even present for.
But for me, you haven't said what you... thought of the episode. I love this episode. I sound like I hate it. I love it.
I think it's fair to criticise how it ended and what it did with that Dick character.
In a piece of art that is almost perfect, that feels like a really weird misstep that they left that line in there because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it feels incongruous. And that's why I feel like all the air is let out is because the line doesn't work. The performance didn't work on the night.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just dropped the line and just had him lift up a cup. He'd already earned for having dialogue, you know, so he's going to get his residuals.
True.
You know, once it goes into syndication, he's made in the shade. It's fine. He doesn't need that line at the end. And it weirds me out. It's almost like those scenes were shot second unit and there was no one there to make suggestions on the day, but then you'd expected them to catch it up in the edit. It's really bugging me.
Yeah, it's odd, and it does stand out because of that.
Yeah. Otherwise, Steve,
the first appearance was great. Format breaking, really liked it. Thought, oh, that's smart. I like that. And it almost loses all of the goodwill for doing something different.
Yeah.
By just falling so flat at the end.
I'd call it a flub.
It's a shame, but the rest of the episode's all right, isn't it?
You like it, good. Yes, I love the fact that George manages to have sex with the cleaner. And I love the way it's written in so much as I said during the episode. I love the fact she doesn't even get a line of dialogue before we find out that George has had sex with her.
But you can kind of see in the performance, his performance in that scene, he's already thinking about it.
I guess. But
seriously, man, I mean, he's his own worst enemy. Why would he do that? He's just managed to bag himself a job, bluffed his way into work by being friends with Elaine, making up some goddamn author. And just throws it all away just before Christmas, mind you, when, you know, often that money can really come in handy. He's a silly boy. It's not big, you know, it's not hard for him. We've seen this. It's not hard for him to find a woman.
I think it was hard.
Going with that, are we?
Yeah, sorry. He's quite but they're all driven by sex. All the characters are driven.
But
to be fair, that is one of the things that was super, that felt really different about Seinfeld at the time, though, was its attitude towards sex. And it was something that, as I said before, wasn't necessarily something that a man does to a woman, and that the women in the conquests of the people on the show, you know, like I said, Cheers, women existed for Sam to have sex with. Which isn't the case. The women are generally smarter and stronger characters than either of the two main male leads. Jerry and George, often made to look completely foolish, and shown up by their women that they choose to be with. You know, and it was like young people living in the city, meeting people for the purpose of having sex. It was a much more laid back attitude towards it. And I think they used to, you know, walk the line a little bit, but, you know, it's although it feels a bit weird now, it was one of the things that really sort of made Seinfeld stand out and stand apart from other sitcoms at the time.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it doesn't feel that way now unless you think about how old it is. You know, I'll watch an episode like that and it doesn't seem incongruous at all.
Yeah.
That it has a particular attitude towards sexual relations. But, you know, yes, this was in 1991, I think this was. So,
it is
significant. But it's good. It's healthy. It's normal. It feels like a much more natural show for it.
Yes.
Which is great. What Michael Richards had to work with, he worked with very well, I thought.
Yeah, he got
Didn't have much to do.
Reasonably thin.
But he was excellent.
That Hennigan's tear was great.
Reliving television commercials in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Selling Hennigan's whiskey. So that was grand. Not too much for him to do, but what he did was great. I felt like if you were going to put Dick and the cashmere sweater in a fight for which was the most significant kind of cameo or one-off character, I think the sweater wins.
Oh yeah.
There's not. I mean, seeing Dick towards the end, kind of being Cape Fear, was fun.
Yeah,
and a little bit of darkness, which is fine.
You enjoyed seeing Dick there, did you?
I wasn't prepared at the beginning of the episode of Seinfeld to see quite so much Dick.
But would you say by the time it got to the end scene, he hadn't been in a few? Would you say by that point that you were craving Dick?
No.
Okay.
No. I was, I think I was more comfortable with its presence.
Yeah.
And certainly welcoming the idea. But ultimately not craving. And in fact, I think it left me a little cold right at the end.
Really?
Yes.
A cold little Dick.
Yeah, indeed. That also felt very much like a Larry David script.
Yeah.
And as you know, okay, fine. It says that he wrote it at the beginning, but it feels like his work.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. Nothing wrong with that. it's nice that you can have episodes which take on the character.
Yeah.
Somewhat of the person who writes it.
Yeah.
It's a comfort blanket.
I agree.
So, why not? This was good.
Why not?
Not great, but this was good. And why not?
Yeah, very good. I liked it very much. I loved the stuff with George. Is that not acceptable here? Yeah, because, you know, most offices, having sex with a cleaner on your desk is encouraged. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add at this point, Steve?
No, I'm all done. I'm all done.
I often go to, and now I'm going to recommend this. I recommend that you buy it. I believe you can find it on Amazon, either .com or .co.uk. And I often use the reference material with my favourite photocopied cover of any book I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld Secrets, an insider scoop about the show by Dennis Bjorklund. And it's great. There are some really interesting and insightful bits and bobs in here, actually. I quite enjoy it. But sometimes there's some odd non sequiturs that are scattered throughout the book. And I'd like to, as we finish up here, I'd like to share the non sequitur. There's only a couple of paragraphs about the red dot. And I kind of extracted as much information from that as I could as we went through. So thank you very much, Dennis Bjorklund. But I'd like to read you the final sentence of this bit, of this particular entry for the red dot, episode 29, which first aired on the 11th of December, 1991. And it says, though it never appeared in any episode, Jerry has been doing yoga every morning for years. What? Though it never appeared in any episode, Jerry has been doing yoga every morning for years. Now,
is that the only entry?
No, there's
the red dot in the book.
There's a little bit about David Norton, which I recounted during the episode.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit about Richard Fancy, which I essentially covered in the show. And then after a very short paragraph about both of those characters, though it never appeared in any episode, Jerry has been doing yoga every morning for years.
Now, this isn't Jerry the character that he's talking about.
No, this is Jerry Seinfeld, the man,
the actual person,
the man that exists in the world.
So, what does that have to do with anything?
Though it never appeared in any episode, Steve. Jerry's been doing yoga every morning for years.
Okay.
Just a little add-on fact. Maybe Dennis Bjorklund, who's created an excellent book. Don't get me wrong. I like this book. I use it all the time. It's really useful when you're doing a podcast about a program that you're not just using IMDb and Wikipedia, that you know you've got a third reference material.
Yep,
it's very handy. But maybe he felt we hadn't written enough about it. I don't know, but I like that. It tickles me that though it never appeared in any episode, Jerry has been doing yoga every morning for years. I wonder if he still does it. I mean, he looks limber, doesn't he?
I haven't seen a photo of him recently. Oh, but I would assume that it's one of those practices that once you start, you just can't get enough of it. You need to do it all the time.
Well, may I recommend, if you want to see a more contemporary Jerry Seinfeld, may I recommend Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Oh, right, okay.
Which is basically him picking up comedians in a car.
Is he still making that?
And yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, you've got to get coffee every day, right?
So. Damn straight I do. I'm absolutely a slave to it. Steve, I feel very much like a fart in a spacesuit. We have outstayed our welcome. I don't think that works as an analogy, but never mind.
No.
But
we've definitely garbled enough.
Yeah. An extra long episode for you this time.
Yes, no real reason, it would seem.
No real reason. Well, apart from the fact I think we were enjoying...
No, I think there was an extended preamble right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then there was extended and torturous dick references throughout the entire episode.
Yes. I'm definitely not doing anything technical there, Steve.
No, of course not.
Causing me not to be able to talk. Although stupid.
I mean, you could have just cut that out, though.
I could have just cut it out, but now I feel like for several seconds now I've been talking about it. And I realise that, you know, I've got we are a little set up here. We've gone long, Steve. We might as well carry on.
Yeah.
we've got these little mics on booms.
Yeah.
in front of us. I could have just
you could have moved it with moved you, the boom it
with me to do what I was doing. But no, I didn't have the presence of mind to do that. It's getting late. What can you say, listener? Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Bye bye.
See you.